Blog Talk Radio.
Vakna dig oedelige drenge, de høyre nykken på havet skri, for de er sovet i for lenge. Heim og kvar i sangvilen, vakna dig oedelige drenge, de høyre nykken den heying hun, for de er sovet i for lenge. Nykken han tala til styringsmann, vakna de koedelige drenge, du for de er sovet i for lenge. Jeg vil meg på Kristeland gå, vakna de koedelige drenge, denne vene jomfrua vil jeg få.
Welcome, everybody, to the Mystical Mother Earth Show. I'm your host, Golden Hawk, and with me tonight is the beautiful Janine Kimmel. Welcome Hello. To the show, Janine. Hello.
Hello. Thank you. It's
you're welcome. Thanks.
It's really misty out, and the birds, like the red-winged blackbirds, are singing. I live on,
nice.
Like, a wetland, nice. And it just feels like, you know, it's so funny that song, I drop into this place and with the mist and the birds, and then the way you came on tonight, I was like, it feels like story time.
It does. Well, I'm telling you, because I want everybody in the audience to ask themselves, so how are they feeling today? Because, you know, whatever was going on with that 26,000-year Palladian solar eclipse, first time in 26,000-year kind of thing yesterday... Get that all out in one breath. I know I'm different.
I know.
And yeah. I mean, you can feel it. I feel
the song, but also the song really suited where I feel, which is like just dropped in somewhere and you know, almost like storytellers, soft, and the weather, the mist is really appropriate, and the twilight, the lighting of now. And then you were just sort of talking about like things right before we went on, and it was like, you know, it was like story time, and but with like a tone that was just pretty, I don't know, just down in there, you know. And
right on.
Yeah, I'm feeling it.
Yeah,
and it's
too.
Amazing because the message you left me on my phone yesterday morning, which was, you know, it was a very exhilarated clarity feeling. And then I was in the same place. And then today it's just this dropped in feeling. It's not like a confusion or anything. It's just, I'm just quiet and down in there. And I was, you know, I was doing stuff today, but I was glad I didn't really have a full day with a lot of different things, because I just was glad for that. So so that's how
well stated. And indeed, you know, I was definitely, I started off yesterday calling myself manic, and I remember years ago a therapist wanted to quote unquote, you know, well, they did, they quoted me as being manic depressive, and you know, they wanted that whole diagnosis to become part of, you know, a regimen of medications to put me on. And, you know, and I just told her flat out, I said, I accept the diagnosis, but that's as far as it goes. You know, I'll deal with it my way. And, you know, if I am that, then I have to learn, you know, on some level to manage that in the world I live in. And, you know, I was saying this to you yesterday that it really is my belief right now that manic depressives, ADD, autism, kind of the blanket mental order diagnosis that the Western medicine culture has kind of been pooling many people in for, you know, a couple of decades. What, at least from my perspective, what seems to be happening is, you know, we were the sensitive ones, really just sensing energy shifting and changes and multi-dimensions and awareness and self-awareness. And, you know, what appears to be happening now is, you know, the rest of humanity has just been pulled into the, you know, the autistic, manic, depressive, ADD diagnosis pool. And it's an interesting thing because, you know, when it's kind of like, you know, when you're first going through this awareness is, you know, our culture doesn't do anything to prepare us. I think it would be quite a different situation if our culture was preparing us for this. And I believe the Aborigines around the world very much prepared their people to be in connection and in contact with, from galactics to interdimensionals. You know, just to the unseen worlds, and not here in the West.
Yeah.
No. Around here, you know, and I get it, you know, because I really, it's interesting. Like last week, I was fired up about an elephant balancing on a ball, and it was genuine. I was fired up, but I swear, as these, as I journey through these self-awarenesses, it seems like my barometer is just continuously going back, and I have set this intentionally, continually go back to the standard of to be in harmony with all that is. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in my manic, depressive, quote-unquote, state of being, I definitely get these highs where I'm like, woo! You know, I'm flying with the eagles and my sister Janine, and you know, and I've got energy to spare, and oh my God, it was so incredible. Last night, sharing it with my beloved Scott, when you know, we went out to dinner and then we went to a live concert, Preservation Hall, a jazz band from New Orleans, and they ended up, you know, coming out into the audience and then taking some of us up on the stage, and me and Scott were on stage together. And the reason why I kind of want to give a little sidebar. The reason why it was such a milestone for me and Scott to experience that, the whole situation yesterday is, you know, I don't think Scott's ever been diagnosed, but we all know Scott's autistic. I mean, Scott knows it. I know it. We all know it. You know, I think maybe his parents didn't want to, I don't know, address that in some level, which is fine. But, you know, it's not like it's not something he doesn't realize and I don't realize. And you know, I know that, you know, I've been quote-unquote diagnosed with the manic depressive. Now, what's interesting about this is that these are states of being where going into public and, you know, doing basic things can be challenging. Because it just seems like there's a lot of drama inside my own being about being in public. And it has increased as my self-awareness has increased. My anxiety about being in public has equally increased. Because God knows, back in the days in my 20s, you know, when I was just a raging drug addict, I won't say an alcoholic, but I drank a lot. I didn't care about being in public, and I was making a fool out of myself half the time. But self-awareness has, and I'm starting to really understand part of it too is the empathy part is that, you know, being self-aware and being aware of how others feel, it's like, boy, when you're in public, you really can get bombarded with the sensitivity of how other humans are experiencing their lives as inside your being. And it's just a little challenging. It really is. So for me and Scott, it was truly a milestone. Everything went really, really well. And it was interesting because it unfolded as we were driving, you know, to the town of Ridgefield, which is where we were going to do dinner and where the theater was that the band was playing. We were very stressed out in the car when we were first driving because it's just the nature of us. We're both head cases and, you know, that's us. But I really wanted to share, but you know what the truth is? But we're doing it anyways. I mean, Scott loves his music, and truth is, I love Scott. And I do, I remember a time when I enjoyed going to concerts and, you know, I mean, being more in public and coming back to that space now feels, I'm ready to do that. I'm ready to not spend all of my time in Scott's house and or in the forest and or with my kids as a nanny, you know, because I'm just ready to kind of, you know, spread my wings a little, do the uncomfortableness of it because it is uncomfortable and work through it. And I mean, God bless Janine. She is tremendously, you know, you really are, babe. You're so helpful to me and just helping me, you know, get my bearings and let me know. And, you know, just, and it's funny because it's like being reborn again. You know, it's like, because I can remember, like, in seventh grade being really, you know, like, telling my mom, I don't want to go to the dances. And I did want to go to the dance, but I was too shy to go to the dances. And she'd be like, oh, come on, just go to the dance. You'll have such a good time. And, you know, I was so nervous about it. And, you know, who was going to be there? You know, were they going to like me? And I have different concerns now, but they're similar threads. And And I also have, of course, the whole experience in my life of conquering some inner demons that I did not have in seventh grade. I had not conquered them yet. And when I say conquering the inner demons, I mean addictions and denials of my own experience and, you know, just being able to look at myself truthfully and being in touch with my soul. I am so much, I'm so more deeper in touch with my soul than I've ever been. And it expresses itself kind of weirdly because in public it expresses itself more that I'm no longer kind of worried about what they're thinking. It's more that I'm conscious of, well, what are you thinking, Goldie, you know, about yourself? Because they're just kind of going to reflect what you're thinking back. And, you know, in my private life, I think I'm a pretty cool cat. So I'm learning to, you know, kind of be okay with being a cool cat in outdoor life too. You know, so
right. And you know, I think that's just, well, there's a couple things. One is that, you know, yeah, you have these feelings, but I said to you earlier that I thought that your intention and your dedication to authenticity
right.
really, you know, you put yourself out there now in an authentic way and also in an organic way, because as things unfold, you respond to them rather than, you know, trying to control or manipulate when you entertain trusting, then, you know, why not do it? Because, you know, and if it feels like, yeah, this could be really something special between me and Scott
exactly.
I find that to be in the practice of it, you see that it's not as actually as difficult as you might have thought, because you might be even thinking of it from the past. But, you know, I wanted to, I loved, because I had forgotten
about the elephant on the ball and how that, because this is so really beautiful to me, that the elephant on the ball started Monday into Monday evening, and you and I, we just, the radio show unfolded as it does in an unpredictable and let's just let it happen way. And three quarters of the way through, I asked you, because you were describing your Mother's Day Sunday, and it wasn't necessarily, I wasn't really focusing on the fact that it was Mother's Day. I was just focusing on what you were saying to me. And I asked you, Goldie, were you sad? And you said there was a moment, and then you were like, yeah, I was sad. And then you came into a true place of recognizing or feeling an authentic vulnerability, which is really, you know, a beautiful space to me, because one thing, it was just how it unfolded. And do you remember, I think, when we first started doing the radio show, and I just remember saying to you how much what I do or what I focus on or what I'm interested in is kind of the art of relating. It's just relating in general, the relating to everything. Yes. So what was so really like to watch the thread, or to be a witness to the thread that came from the place of vulnerability for you, because it was like this immediate shift. And why it was so impressive to me is because it was completely organic, the process, as relating is organic. True relating is organic because it's an unfolding. There's no predictability, but nobody who's interested in the true art of relating would ever want it to be predictive.
Because then it's not organic. That's mind
control.
It's
not authentic.
Right.
It's not in the moment. And, so it's so amazing, because I forgot about the elephant on the ball. And the thing that struck me mostly about that picture, which was the obvious thing, was that no matter whether it was Photoshop or real, which didn't matter to me, it was still unnatural. And so it was an unnatural representation of balance. So then we end up in the place of you finding, you know, a place of vulnerability, which I think is like the golden place. And then I recall that you had these really beautiful relating days with Scott. And it was, who could have predicted it, you know? And so then yesterday, you know, and so the week moves along, and you even, I remember, approached him with some really beautiful conversation that was just, I thought, more risk-taking and true intimate, you know, conversation, which is another authentic thing. And then,
vulnerable.
It's always a risk-taking thing, but like there's, you can't really kind of go wrong if you're authentic, vulnerable, trusting, and you're in your truth. I mean, so when you spoke of yesterday in your, like, it wasn't really a high. It was just this place, and, you know, and I'm going, here it is again, when you were using the word manic, because so often I come along and I see these words that we're using. Like, I had a person who used the word depressed with me. And it wasn't my impression of all that she was depressed. It was, so I said, Goldie, no, not manic. It's either genius, it's excellence.
Exactly.
It's, you know, these words that we've acquired that have this sort of label of abnormality, when in fact, you know, I think that so many words, you know, are being misused and, you know, or mis, like, if someone says something to me and they go, oh, I'm, and I go, no, you're not. You know, nobody's depressed if they're seeking. And by the way, we have to go down into ourselves in order to really kind of reach that stuff, that, you know, the vulnerable stuff.
No, and I want you to finish where you started a statement, and that statement bears saying all of it.
What?
It's really important for people to hear that. You can't call yourself depressed if you're seeking the guidance to understand why you feel bad.
Right, because you're not immobile, you're raising up, you know.
You're entering the stage of self, going. You're not in denial of it. The depression is the denial of, you know, that you can get out of it.
Okay, and you know what I just got from what you said, which was good that you stayed with that, because I get that once again these words hold us back, manic, depressed, because
they're old paradigms,
and they're limiting. To be depressed and for someone to say I'm depressed, it's like, well, what does that mean? You know, are you? You're coming to me to say you're depressed. You want to work on yourself. Yeah, I don't see you as depressed. I don't see that. I see you as curious about yourself. That you're going inward more. Maybe you're feeling like, you know, you're kind of entering. Well, I say, and good for you, like entering a sanctuary where you need. You know, you're going in and doing some deep work or soul work, which.
Right on.
So that to me isn't depressed.
Which will encompass sad feelings. I mean, in other words, in our awakening, when we first wake up, it is not peaches and cream. We're usually waking up to really, really deep, painful feelings that we're in right at that moment.
Right.
You know, going, well, how the hell did I get here?
conditioning is to not to go there. You know, the conditioning says
conditioning
don't go
is
there.
Right. That's what all the distraction is. Buy something, eat something, have sex with something.
Right. Or, if you discover who you really are, then what does that, you know, other people get threatened by people, you know, when they're going to do self-work or soul work, the people outside of them, you know, a lot of people get threatened by that. And they're like, why are you doing that? Because, you know, that's threatening to other people. And to me, you know, and backtracked even 2 weeks when we were talking about sanctuary, and, you know, these are guaranteed places of, like, risk-taking, but they're so worth it. And then for myself, and this has been pretty strong since, like, the New Year's, you know, Eve, where just... the wording seems antiquated to me now, the wording that people are using. You know, it's like, no, that doesn't fit. You know, even when, you know, I hear people talking ego, subconscious, I'm like, it just doesn't feel like those words fit anymore. And so I think that's interesting that with this organic timeline and a lot of the supportive energy going on, I just think the old paradigms are dropping away, and including the language that described what we thought were, you know, our state of being or our our conditioning.
I agree.
You probably, you know, because you know me and we talk so much, you probably noticed that I do that a lot. I'm like, no, that's not the right word.
No, definitely. But you see, you helped me understand that, because I. Manic was the word I kind of used, you know, almost in jest of, you know, like, yeah, well, I was diagnosed.
I know.
So, you know, of course, I'm having a manic day. But, you know, when I updated Facebook and wrote, you know, I'm going to update my vocabulary.
I saw that.
That I'm not manic. I'm genius.
Tapping into the genius. Yeah,
well,
which is
and
the
there's
December,
empowerment.
Which is December month.
Yes. Yeah, well, perhaps it's time. We could have that one more than once a year. So maybe June we should explore that again. Because it was just, there really was an energy behind genius that it almost like it encompassed manic plus. It wasn't a matter of we got rid of manic. Because, you know, and I'll be honest with you, and those who have been following, you know, the show, I won't go to bliss. I that word in particular feels very heroin, and I mean the stuff you shoot in your arm. That's what bliss feels to me. Bliss to me feels like it's there's a kind of like a haze in somebody's eyes that they feel really good, but they're you're not grounded. There's not a clarity. It's more like a misinformed feeling good, where it diminishes awareness, It's not encompassing self-awareness. It's diminishing awareness. And I hear a lot of the New Age community using the bliss, and, you know, God bless, you know, but I'm trying to confront and encompass my addictions. I'm not looking to get another one. And that is truly the energy that I feel. Bliss is an addiction. It's just of energy instead of a substance like, you know, an opiate. So,
right. And I also think that the kind of clarity or you know, fly-in yesterday, which I knew you were saying manic, and it wasn't like, I'm manic, help, Jay. You know, it wasn't that.
Yeah,
it
right.
Like,
it wasn't about help. It was right.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't going to jump off the garage going, I can fly.
No, but it's funny because when you were mentioning the word bliss, I was going, yeah, because it almost seems like, it's like where when you break through the membrane, as we were saying, where we
you meet these
places or these resistances about, you know, self or expansion, and then you break through. And it, bliss isn't like that's dedication, that's work. And to me, bliss doesn't come from that. And it's so funny because I thought when you with that girl said to you. And she said, you are so joyful. And you, and how are you so that way? And you said, a lot of work. And I really thought it is the it is right. It's a lot of work, you know, to stay with it. And so bliss just doesn't strike me either as the word. It's more,
as the work,
tapping into the genius, or you know, it's because that's what it feels like to me when we're almost in this creative genius place. And it does feel that way,
and I don't want
to back away from that word, because I think that, you know, that's you know, people would be like, oh, you can't say that, you know, and it's like, yes, I can, you know.
Oh, hell yeah, I can.
Yeah,
I
can
not only say it, I know it. I know I'm ingenious when the way things are, because see, here's a really interesting gauge that I invite everybody to look at from their own perspectives. You know, the way I've been living my life, consciously on the radio, but, you know, and even for a bit longer than I've been on the air. I've been on the air 6 years, and I've been on my journey for 15. But not the whole 15 years was I living this way. But this idea of addressing head-on the energies and the emotions of the dark, the sadness, the depression, the anger, the abandonment, the lack of self-worth. And when I say addressing these things head on, I'm literally speaking about one thing, the acceptance that I am those things. Mm-hmm. That is what I'm talking about when I say that. This philosophy of living my life that way has provided countless times of rich fruit on the trees in my third dimensional world. Rich fruits of synchronicity, of relating and or relationships, of serving me in ways financially, even though I'm gainfully unemployed. It just really is becoming for me just, you know, I'm not saying it's the only way it can be done, even though me and Janine talked about this, but I do believe it's an effective way to master the art of being a human being on planet Earth right now. Because it's so funny how, you know, I see the threads, like I saw a thread today from, you know, a very awakened young man. I invited him on the show, but he prefers to type and write his stuff as opposed to talk it, which is fine. He was talking about anger, and, you know, that when we have anger, to take, like, you know, three deep breaths before we respond, to kind of get a balancing point. And I totally resonate with that, but I could sense from his perspective, anger was still the enemy, and it was all about, get rid of the enemy, you know, conquer the enemy. And I know I've used the word conquer, and I'm actually trying, you know, not to use the quote-unquote warring adjectives when we're indulging in self and inner reflection. Because I know it feels like a war, but that's because the conditioning that we've been taught is that, you know, you got to get rid of it. Get rid of the ego. Get rid of the anger. Get rid of the depression. Instead of kind of sitting with these aspects of ourselves and going, well, you know, do you have something of value to offer me? And I'm telling you, the value is all in the positive column. So there's this, like, just a tremendously magical dynamic of the dark emotions and the dark feelings having tremendous beneficial qualities when we actually sit with them and accept them and don't look to change them. They'll change in our accepting of them. They become what's it called? It's alchemy.
Yeah.
This is the organic way to becoming grounded and strong and you know, when, like, I'll say to people, oh, I'm having a tough day today or something, and they'll go, oh, sending you love and light, and I'll be like, okay, thanks. Next time, send me courage and strength. You know, like, because, you know, and I got to bring it up. Okay, so one of the things I noticed today, before I even do that, I want to hear from you guys, because the week leading up to me and Scott's total celebration with Preservation Hall last night, I am happy to share details of my life leading up to that. And I really, and you can write it either in the chat room, you can email me. Let me know if, when I share the details of my life, if that's helpful. Or if it's okay to just talk about it from kind of an analogy. And like the way me and Janine just discussed it, you guys don't know the details. And I'll be honest with you, I am super happy to share my details if in the story itself it helps you understand the details of your story and your particulars. Because that for me is what I feel. It's just something that, you know, people say to me all the time, I can't believe how much you share on the radio. And it's like, well, why not? It no longer has a hold on me that I make a mistake. It no longer has a hold on me that I'm in this process along with everybody else. So, see, now, and in that statement alone, I'm telling you, there's strength in not having to keep it secret.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want to emphasize that. And I'll be honest with you, I love sharing the details of me and Scott's life. And not just me and Scott, but me and Ginny, me and whoever's dealing with me. I almost laugh and go, you know, anybody who chooses to play with me on some level, it's like, you know, the fine print is, and you realize that at some point this could be discussed on the radio. So if that would make it easier or if that would make it more interesting, let me know. And I can... Go ahead.
But I just wanted to say that I love that you when you discover all these, you know, parts of ourselves, the insecure, the angry, the, you know, whatever those things you just mentioned, but that they're not to be banished. They're to be accepted.
Correct.
They're to be included. They're not to be seen as this is what's wrong with me.
And that
also includes, to me, those words that imply something's wrong. And I just
But
what I love about it is that, and you use the word alchemy, and what I was seeing was what we had talked about, which was as we move these parts of us into closer and closer, they merge, and then they do form that vesica Pisces. And within that over-merging of ourselves that we're including in that place, you reach this incredible place, which I think holds vulnerability often to, well, the whole self is authentic, but I just think that this is when the merge occurs, that you get so close to your true self of knowing yourself, because you're not banishing any aspect of yourself, that this is when you stand in strength, vulnerability, courage, truth, you know, risk-taking, in the moment. You're not trying to almost out-trick yourself as to how to not, you know.
Exactly.
Right. And
exactly.
So it is. It's that is such a good point, that it's a bringing, it's not a banishing, it's a bringing in. And that's why, you know,
it's all inclusive. That
is
the ascension. Inclusive,
right?
Right,
and then but there's this, it's so amazing because the alchemy that occurs is not, it's not because there's some kind of forced change. It's an organic process. I see it as that basic of Pisces, and in there, and it is rich territory or rich fruit bearing trees, or that's,
which you,
you know,
have known from day one with all of. I mean, that was one of the things that so attracted to me when I spoke to you. You know, because you know, and I'm telling you, I'm telling everybody listening, you'll almost if I don't want to say that you want to replace the addiction, but it's almost like it takes an addiction to pull you out of what you'll really be attracted to are things you can't believe, you know, things that you would be like, oh, I'd never be attracted to the darkness of my own being. And yet, I promise you, you will be, literally, you'll make it, your darkness will become your best friend. Because the answers, the wisdom, the sheer consciousness, I mean, an actual level of being, when you befriend that which everything on the outside world has worked so hard to keep you separate from. Because that is, it takes heroin to keep us from knowing who we truly are. And this is what the whole talk about, you know, this whole idea about the Illuminati and the powers that be, you know, having all this control over us. One of the things that is coming into me from a deeper and deeper perspective is they do everything they can to keep us away from the parts of us that truly are beyond their mind control. It is already in you, and the part that's beyond mind control or any form of manipulation and deception is the darkness in you. You know, it's like, it's so close. It's less than a breath away.
Superpower
for self.
Yes, and it is where liberation is, and that's the amazing thing. That once again,
yes,
the conditioning has cautioned us to stay away, because that's,
it's cranking it up now, because why is it cranking it up now? Why are the foods now being more genetically manufactured? Why are the, you know, the chemtrails becoming more? Why are the BP oil spills happening? Why? Because we're getting that much closer to remembering our true selves, and it's already in us. In our pain is that understanding, and they know it. You know, the powers that be know it. God,
also,
you got me fired up.
You know, what's really beautiful too, and this is for male and female, but that the dark self, the darkness, the unknown, because I think it's so misrepresented that is the deep feminine nature. It is
right,
it is
on
deep,
right
the
on
inward dark, and so in there is so much beauty. I mean,
power, and not power over self empowerment,
right? And so it gets such a bad rap.
but you know what? Only to those who buy into it, it doesn't get
a
bad rap from Janine and Goldie.
No. So because I've only learned through my own experience that it, you know, courage and strength, vulnerability, be willing to just fall apart into a thousand pieces, and you know they'll, you know, like water drops, and you'll all come together again. But you've got to be willing to go there, and you know, and I encourage people to do that so much. And yeah, you know, it's a game changer. And you know,
absolutely,
a long time ago, Angela Sarian gave me a gift. She gave me this book called Sacred Chaos, and it was such a strong book about going into that dark self. And it's where all the power was, and the genius, and the holding back, and the not, you know, not really coming out in your authenticity, and you know, needing to be right and holding a certain image. And it was just so amazing. And,
right on.
And you know, yeah.
Right on.
And so
right on.
So it's the deep feminine nature, and it's the magic gown, and it's it's all that stuff. And, you know,
well, and here's what's ironic. You know, the name of the show, right? Mystical Mother Earth Show. Mother Earth is in accordance and in alignment with what's happening with us is happening with her.
Yeah.
You know, because that the subconscious, the frequency is raising. So remember we talked about this a few weeks ago. The subconscious is no longer in the basement.
Penny Pierce said that, right? I mean,
right.
It's all up.
Penny Pierce, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So it's all now in our living room. Everything that we put downstairs that we didn't want to look at from childhood. And you know, I would imagine in this lifetime, even things that are in our DNA that didn't necessarily happen in this lifetime, but are part of our journey as a human being, is now in our living room. So, you know, it just makes sense. See, everything that me and Janine are talking about, we look at our lives like fractals. Why? Because that's the way life in the universe, that's how it works.
Yeah.
So if I can figure out, for some reason, you know, and I am a little disconnected tonight. All right, so what would be the fractal that would be universal in the knowing? In the knowing that our darkness has our answers.
Goldie, that, you know, I was going, wow, you know, this is, you were talking and I was going off on this thing. And so it was about that, you know, Mother Earth, and she's going through what we're going through, and that, you know, the deep feminine nature is virtually an open vessel. And it's not even that someone has to force this work. I just say be open to it, because it will show up for
you. You don't have to force anything.
No,
that is the absolute truth.
Right.
The force,
no force
is the old paradigm.
It's
all
about opening. It's just open.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And you don't even have to, there's no magic show. There's no trick. There's no, it's just, you know, even the statement, I am open to, you know, the deep feminine nature that might, you know, I'm telling you, it's like an invitation to ourselves. And so I think that's what's so amazing about these times, is that it's all supportive right now in a very big way. And you and I are feeling it a lot, and we're, you know, sometimes we're in awe, but it's every day.
It's all the time. Milestones every single day. I am in awe. And it's becoming, nature is such a part of my awe-ness. But I am literally learning that the rules, so to speak, because I've said this for many years. Listen, I don't make the rules. I'm just playing the game by the rules, the way that work, you know, for what I'm looking for. I'm looking to be in harmony. That is the rule. I'm not looking to, you know, run a country and a world. Nope. I'm not looking to control anybody else's situation. Nope. I'm looking to have harmony where, you know, I don't want to be afraid anymore. I want to feel joy. And what Janine is also helping me realize, my artist. I am exploring my artist. And ironically, I'm actually letting the teacher aspect of me go, in the sense of when I was a part of my new age journey was definitely as I started getting awarenesses when I was still playing them from a mental perspective. It was all about, okay, how am I going to get everybody else to know this? How am I going to teach what I know? And I'll be honest with you, my teaching has it's taking on such deeper influence since I have now entered my artist archetype, where I'm just going to share with you what's going on in my life. I'm just going to tell you my ups, my downs, my confusion, my joys, my manic and my depressive. You know, you've heard the shows where, you know, I'm scratching my head going, you know, are you kidding me? I just worked a month and I'm not getting paid. Okay, this is where I am and this is what I'm sharing. You know, as well as, you know, because I'm really getting the sense that I should be sharing the details. Somebody needs to hear the details of okay, because I keep feeling it. Okay, so and I want to go in the dialogue. Okay, so this was kind of the elements leading up to Sunday. Thursday, Scott spontaneously takes the day off because his job on Wednesday basically showed him that he's got five vacation days and he has till July to take them or he loses them. And it kind of pissed him off. But he was like, so he literally got dressed and ready for work on Thursday morning, left, and then came back spontaneously. It was like, wow. And, you know, I me and Scott haven't spent the day during the middle of the week together in a long time. Now, and with this, Scott, there was some kind of energies going on because me and Scott made love all day long. And that is just not inherently. Usually if Scott takes a day off, he's going to do gardening or he's going to fix his car. He tends to focus much more on a tangible, you know, product. He needs to be productive in that day because it's like he looks at it as, you know, this is now given time. I must be productive. That's historically how he would spend the day. So the fact that he just kept coming into, he would get out of the bed and then come back in the bed and kind of invite me back in, and I was like, I'm in. So we have this amazing day of lovemaking and just, you know, intimacy. Now, Friday comes, and the weekend before, I had worked 21 hours. This weekend, it ended up, I had to work Friday night as well. And I wasn't sure if I had to work Saturday. They were going to let me know on Friday. Well, come to find out Friday night, I did have to work on Saturday. And Scott started showing signs of, you know, abandonment. Where, you know, he was like, you know, what's going on? You know, you're working all the time and, you know, I have the weekends off. We're supposed to be doing this together. Now, I want to slide into that I was like, all right, listen, it's work. I'm a nanny. Nannies kind of can fill, their weekends can fill up because that's just the way it is. And there was a boundary that I was setting because there is often times that if Scott would say that to me, historically, I would really be more in the space of going, okay, Scott wants me there. If I'm doing something else, I'll blow it off. I'm going to go be with Scott. But I'm going through my own morphogenetics, whatever, as well. And I'm going, well, obviously, I'm not going to blow off work. And he gets that. But there was more unfolding with this. Because first of all, it was the first time he was triggered. I was conscious that he was triggered in abandonment and not me. I mean, and I'm going, okay, do I rescue him? I wasn't really sure what to do. So, I mean, but I knew as well, listen, I got to work. And there's this, you know, of course, there's this underlying, even in our conditioning, we all seem to have a respect for, listen, when you got to work and make money, whatever you're doing, it's okay that you're doing it. You know, like that seems to be culturally something we respect for, you know, it's not just me and, you know, everybody seems to respect, oh, you got to cancel because you're making money. Okay, that's okay then. Which is, I invite people to look at that as well. But anyway, so I was like, listen, babe, they need me. I'm working. Now, what was interesting is I came home on Saturday. In between all of this, I know we have the concert coming up on Sunday. Now, me and Scott have been on and off with each other for 4 years. I can count on two hands how many times me and Scott have done public outings together. And like I said earlier in the show, I'm a head case, he's a head case. I'm used to having, usually if I do outings, public outings with, you know, any significant other, they're usually the one calming me down. You know, I'm a head case, I admit it. And Scott doesn't really have the tools to calm me down because Scott's a head case. So we're getting closer and closer, and I basically tell Scott on Saturday, you know, it's May 20th on Sunday. It's the big galactic alignment. It's the Pleiadian alignment. And I'm going to the woods. And he, of course, now he got triggered again. Now, another sidebar to this. I have a friend of mine who happens to be an ex-boyfriend who I have invited to my house to help fix a desk of mine. This is also a major, it's an element in our relating with each other this weekend, because what I'm watching as he knows that John is going to come over and fix my desk, we're progressing. I'm watching our relationship progress to last year, Scott had tickets to the same band. We never made it to the show last year. We got into a fight the day of the show. I was home. Scott was at his house. He didn't pick up the phone. We just didn't go to the show. And this is what me and Scott historically go through when we're under stress. You know, we can be gripped by fear and then play out that motion and it not happen. So on Saturday, after I was done with work, and I had already mentioned to him that, you know, we talked briefly. He spoke to me in his vulnerability and said, I don't like the idea that John is coming over to your house to fix the computer. And I said, okay. Now, and John and I have history in the breakups that me and Scott have gone through. So I come home from work, and I immediately, this is something I never used to do, but this is what, I just immediately addressed Scott's abandonment issues and John, and really just as authentically as I could, which was very easy. I just showed him how much it was him that I love, and it was him that I want to be with for the rest of my life. I can't even explain how it was. I just loved him as honestly as I knew how to be. It was just me being me going, you know, I understand where you're coming from, but, you know, babe, whether I'm with you or not with you, you have nothing to fear in anybody that's with me, because the only one I want to be with from any kind of intimate sexual level is you. I love you, and I love, you know, we're married now. That's why we did, that was it. I brought up this spiritual ceremony, how I wanted us to do that because I wanted our souls to be on board with this relationship. I wanted our souls to be the ones behind the choices that we made when we weren't speaking to each other, or when we weren't together. And so, you know, I was like, you know, I'm not interested in John. I'm just interested in John fixing my desk. That's it. And I thought about saying to him, okay, listen, I'll just call up, you know, a handyman out of the yellow pages, out of the phone book. But, you know, intuitively my body went, no, this is about really holding the space of John can be there and so can trust, because this is about trust. And I saw Scott soften. I mean, literally, I could see him just, his energy softened on Saturday. So now we still have the, so we're through the John, you know, and the abandonment issue, but we still have the idea of Sunday, which is, he basically said to me, okay, listen, so what, now you're going to go to the Chambers all day on Sunday, you know, and you're not going to spend any time with me? You know, this is the weekend. And again, it came up for me that, for me, being in the Chambers on a Pleiadian galactic alignment that happens once every 26,000 years, that really is extremely important to me. This is my well-being we are speaking of. And how do I get my well-being in there and still spend time with Scott? You know, how do I'm learning how to hold boundaries, but not at the sacrifice of me. And I'm telling you, this is what this whole idea of self-worth is showing up for me. And what the vulnerability is, because I was like, it struck me, you know, I was kind of, at first I didn't know, and then it struck me when I my eyes opened up like they usually do at about 6 o'clock in the morning, Sunday morning. And it was like, you know what, Goldie? If you get up right now and get dressed and go to your Chambers now, you can spend 2.5-3 hours there and be back, you know, shit before it's even noon. And that's exactly what I did. And it was amazing because there was a lot of people hiking yesterday and, you know, it was the 26,000-year alignment of the Pleiadian stuff. You know, the people who do get it, that the energy in the forest is, you know, kind of kicking it right now. I didn't run into any of them. And not that, you know, I'm avoiding them, but I don't know. There's something very intimate about me being in the woods by myself. I really, really, really enjoy my time in the woods without other people. And I'm open to doing the woods on, you know, specific dates and stuff with groups. But that wasn't what it was about for this particular day. This particular day was about me understanding how to love me, how to be consciously aware of Scott without rescuing him. This is because I'm telling you, I can feel my conditioning is telling me, put yours, you know, how many mothers are listening to the show? And it's, you know, we have been conditioned. You come second, your children and your husband come first. I mean, that is the conditioning. We were all raised, if you're not feeling that, we were raised by women who did feel that. Because that's what almost all of our mothers thought, that they never really gave us the living example of loving ourselves and nurturing ourselves and being taking the well-being of what happens for us as a priority and then taking care of our family. And that's why most of our parents died from cancer, because they didn't do that. And that's what the cancer is. It's telling you, nurture yourself. Then nurture your loved ones. And when I did, it was like the experience now put the story where, you know, so me and Scott, we go to the theater, and of course we're stressed out, you know, as we're driving there, because that's the way our anxiety. See, and it's funny, when I'm anxious, I talk. When Scott's anxious, he gets quiet. So, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's a little bit of a comedy act in that, you know, I can't shut up. He's not saying a word. I'm freaking out. He's freaking out. You know, and as soon as we got into the town, into Ridgefield, we found we didn't find it right away. We didn't find the restaurant right away. But as soon as we did, we sat down. The waitress came over and she's like, "Can I help you?" And I was like, "I'm going to have a glass of wine." And that was the first bit of alcohol I've had in my body in over a year, because Scott doesn't drink. And then Scott goes, "And I'm going to have a Sam Adams, a beer." And I looked and I went, "You know what? I think we're ready to do this. I think we're ready to explore alcohol being a part of our lives, with a consciousness, just as conscious as we were talking about our abandonment issues." Today, me and Scott had another conversation about, you know, alcohol's okay, but, you know, it's not going to be the addiction. I'd rather go abstinent than explore the addictive qualities of alcohol, because me and Scott have already explored those qualities. And, you know, just like Coke is my demon, potentially alcohol on an addictive level is Scott's demon. Now, I asked him, I said, do you think you can do this, you know, from a more casual point of view? And he goes, "Well, I don't know, but I'm willing to try." And I'm like, okay, works for me. Because I said to him very clearly today, if it shows up that it becomes more addictive, we start losing a handle on this, I'm not losing Scott. So I will go back into abstinence as well. Right. And I will not drink it, because I want Scott in this relationship. Now, I love the idea that we could have a couple of drinks, because it helped me loosen up in public. It helped take my edge off. It helped take his edge off. But you know what? That's what I would call an easy route. You know, that's an easy route. Easy isn't always necessarily the best way. I mean, if it works from a conscious point of view, easy is beautiful. But like I said, if it opens Pandora's box and you know, he shows up at the house with a six-pack or whatever, you know, we're back in the dry spell. There's no more alcohol, and we'll deal with our anxiety in public a different way. I mean, it's as simple as that. But I don't know who needed to hear me talk about this experience this week, but I really got the sense that somebody needed. It was just was inside me in my chest going, you got to say it, you got to say it. It's like,
yes.
Okay.
do you remember when you asked me, hey, Jay, how you doing on the first, and I go, I just feel like it's storytelling time. And
yeah,
and
right
I thought it was a good story because.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was following it. And yes, I know it before you told it again, but, you know, just listening to it, and it's so interesting that you use the word, and I watch Scott soften, which is exactly what, you know, in authentic and, you know, in the moment conversation and that incredible art of relating, like you had said to me, you know, I didn't want to rescue. And I said, no, but there's a beautiful quality of authenticity and intimacy in reassuring, in being reassuring. And you know, that's a whole different, that is not rescuing.
So talk about that, because see, with the audience, see, the reason why I like to tell the stories is you guys kind of hear it the same way I tell Janine. It's just me and Janine kind of talk usually on it, you know, if it's a day-to-day experience. Because I literally said to Janine, you know, this is what I did, but I don't even know half the time if I am rescuing. Am I doing a negative condition? You know, is this a positive thing? Because it's very difficult to tell, for me anyways, because, how can I put it? Janine gives me the understanding from outside of me, but from a space of, I've never had a friend promote a healthy relationship like Janine does. Janine just seems to, she understands from a therapeutic point of view the healthy boundaries. And I trust that. I mean, completely, because it's in trusting that I can say to her, okay, because, you know, I'm not here to save Scott. And I had another friend of mine that was going, you know, when he was showing abandonment issues, she was like, well, you should let him sit in his pain so he can get through it, like, you know, like you get through your pain. And I took that in. I mean, and she meant that, you know, to be helpful. But in all honesty, when I took that advice in, every cell in my body went, no, that's not what I do. That doesn't feel right for me. It feels right for me to, because when Scott triggers my abandonment, I don't look for Scott to make me feel better. I don't. I go, oh, I'm in abandonment. Get your ass to the woods, sit with yourself, and allow it to alchemize. And
yeah, well,
and
a lot of times if you bring it in real close, like, which is what not running away from it does, and you know,
right,
you, it literally will integrate into you, and there's no banishment again. It just alchemizes, and it just transcends, it transmutes, it just doesn't hold you and keep you captive, and you react to things instead of responding to things. And you know, because being in abandonment, everything's reactionary. Yeah, it's like
very
yeah,
much. Absolutely,
you know, so,
absolutely.
But what I love about the story is as I go back to what the elephant on one ball symbolized, according to the person who posted it, was balance. And I said to myself, that's not a symbol of balance, that's unnatural. And so when you tell me your story, I'm like following it and I'm listening, and you know, the boundary setting and the true explanation of your feelings and a reassurance to your partner. And it wasn't rescuing, it was just what we do in real relationships is, you know, we expose ourselves. And like, for instance, it would be perfectly great if someone were to say, not you, but or me, to say to our partner, you know, I'm feeling insecure right now, and I'm just needing some reassurance. Because as much as you can deliver reassurance, you can ask for reassurance, and that is not asking to be rescued. It's just asking for, like, communicate with me, talk to me, you know,
right, and that's
a whole other way of being. And so, when you said to me, though, because you said, and I saw Scott soften, which I think is so amazing, because he moved into vulnerability and you had moved into vulnerability on Monday. And then I could feel Tuesday and Wednesday that you were really processing in this way, the vulnerability. And I could just tell by, like, checking in with some of your comments on Facebook and things, and I could just tell you were. And I did initiation art with a really dear friend of mine on Tuesday. And
the day after the show, correct.
Right, the day after the show, and she had listened to the show, but she had been talking about doing initiation art since, like, January. And all of a sudden, she texts me on Tuesday and goes, "How's 4 o'clock?" And I said, "Great." and this is so cool because a couple of reasons, and you know, is that as she's doing the initiation art, which I posted on Facebook and my website, because she wanted me to, which is wonderful, because that's exposing yourself.
Right on.
She, as we're doing it, and I know she wouldn't mind me sharing this because she really did want me to share, she said, as she looked at the color she was using on this piece, she goes, "I'm softening." And I was feeling the same thing for her, but she said it, and it was like, wow, there it is. And just tonight, when I was waiting for the show to go on, and I was hearing that music, and I could almost hear you going, "How are you, Jay?" And my answer was, "I feel soft."
Right
and
on.
And I think that, you know, it's so cool because I was going to mention this to you before, but then you told the story and it works in even more beautiful now that. This time, you had mentioned this to me probably like 2 days ago, that this time of year in particular, any time, but this time more, but this time of the end of May into early June has an energy about it that is very, it's almost like get on and ride it because it's really something special. And, you know, I remembered, because my whole life since I was 17, I could never understand that there 1972, it was the end of May and into June, I had these like 3 weeks of where I was writing poetry that was so connected to myself and nature and was so, I was like, where is this coming from, you know? And I just remember it was like a burst of just connected creativity, poetry. And, you know, to this day, I still look at it and I go, wow.
Maybe one day you can read one or, you know, or,
yes,
you know, share
yes,
something from
yes,
it. Okay. Because
yes,
I'd like that.
Yeah, I will. And there was like,
okay.
There were a cluster of them and it was all in this time frame of right now. And then you said to me the other day, you know, and I noticed that, like over the years, I was like, how come always at this time of year I feel this way? This is like a very beautiful, I don't know, energy. And then you said that to me like 2 days ago that, yes, this time of year is like that, but it's even more so now. And now I'm feeling, you know, your vulnerability on Monday that occurred on Sunday, and then your and Scott's and your real paying attention to an organic process within yourself, and it's a softening, and it's you know, my friend Lisa with her art was a softening, and I feel it, and it's just like, you know, I mean, it kind of is like get on board the softening train, you know.
It's a soul like, train.
Why not? Why not soften and open? Because this is like the good stuff, you know.
Well, and it's organic. It's real.
Yes,
it's not artificial. It's not. It's like whatever is going on with all of this.
Yeah.
You know, because it was interesting, I had said to Scott tonight, in fact, right before the show, that, you know, I bring up that the alcohol potentially is, you know, is a demon for him. You know, it has potentials to be a demon for him. Mm-hmm. Well, Janine had told me, I did my damnedest to get another couple to come with me and Scott to the show last night. Because
since like January or February, something. It was a long
literally,
time.
Literally, right, for months. Yeah. I mean, I went through a ton of couples, And it ended up, I mean, we actually ate the tickets. We actually had the entire first row to ourselves. So it was, we were kind of joking as, you know, we were feeling, you know, all about ourselves.
Hey, you needed your space.
We needed our space. I mean, but the true beauty that that Janine really pointed out to me yesterday is, see, my demon is not recognizing that me and Scott, in and of ourselves, we are a complete package. I don't need another couple to help me experience being in public with Scott.
Right.
I don't need that. And I, because Janine had said to me back in like March, I hope it's just you two that go. And, you know, I remember there was a part of me that went, wow, you know, that's interesting that she's saying that, because, I mean, I hope that, but, you know, I could, you know, because this is what, I'm addressing fears in my life. That's another way to confront, you know, the mind control aspects, because the fear is that, of course, last year we got into a fight and we didn't go to the concert. I saw it kind of, you know, it's like, it's replicating. Look at this, you know, the whole abandonment and John and, oh, it's leading up to it. And I was like, no, hold the course. Steady as she goes.
Because
I was like, okay, so what did you do? What didn't you do last time? Last time you didn't talk to Scott. And,
right.
And the truth is, last time we didn't have that sacred ceremony of us being married. Because I'm telling you, girls out there, I cannot recommend enough. If you're with somebody and it's on again, off again, I've had relationships like that for a good part of my life. If you want it to stick, do a spiritual ceremony. Just set the intent. I mean, you know, it can be very simple with a lot of power.
Right.
And shucks, even the men out there who are listening to the show, if you don't want it to be on again, off again, I can't tell you because Scott's on board too. You know, Scott told me recently that, I don't even know if we spoke about this on the show, but in every relationship Scott has been in, he's always looked for his next girlfriend while still being in the relationship with the girlfriend at present. And I'm the first girl that he's not doing that. He's not on the dating sites, and he's not on Match.com and Yahoo Personals. He's in this relationship whole and complete with me, which means so when the challenging times come up, and this is the significant difference of that commitment, when the challenges come up, it becomes about looking at ourselves in that relationship as opposed to going, okay, let's just replace the person and start again, which is just really a way of saying I don't want to deal with looking at myself.
Yeah,
because you're gonna replay the triggers, because it's, you know, this is part of the understanding of how the universe works. It's like our dream states. All characters are us. We are the creation of all of this, and so when your desire is to go deeper into the creation of self, that's when the idea of being commitment phobic, that just, I'm not commitment phobic because I'm committed to knowing me. That's why I wanted to marry Scott, so I could get to know me. And apparently his soul was on board with it too, because he did that. And, you know, what we went through this week, it was just so monumental. And it really showed up monumentally that the last two songs, I mean, literally the encore of Preservation Hall, me and Scott were a part of the encore of this band from Louisiana. We're on stage with them. It's like the symbolism of that is just
especially with you guys, because, you know, from I don't know if, you know, we can do this alone, maybe we need another couple, then I don't know if I can go, and now you're, and then I hear you're up on stage, and I'm like, well, that's over. I mean, I don't think we have a problem here.
Well, and I mean, they're right. There's still, you know, there's some kinks I got to get out. But the truth is, I mean, because I looked at Scott and I went, I can't wait to tell Janine, because that's exactly right. See, because, you know, it's about honoring. I talk about my fears to Janine, not to, you know, how do I talk about them because it's time to face them. And so let's put this on the table. You know, when Janine planted that little seed of, I hope you guys go alone, when I walked in with Scott today, I don't even know if I finished this statement, but see, my demon is bringing other people into this relationship. I don't need to do that. I don't. And I see that, and I'm telling you, I've had some, you know, people have come into me and Scott's world and, you know, tripped up our balance. And that's not to say I don't want to have friends. I do want to have friends, and we have friends. But, you know, I'm very content being in my relationship with Scott and now taking it out to the world. I really am content with that. And it seems that as I'm content with that, now the friends will show up, you know, and the friends that I'm looking for are the friends who are also content in their relationship. You know, because that's what I think if you're in a relationship and you hang out with people who have troubled relationships, I think that can go viral. That can become very much insidious, as you know. It can come into our relationship. Me and Scott have issues, but we're committed to working through them. I had another couple in my life that's still on the, you know, they didn't do the spiritual wedding, so to speak, and they're still kind of, you know, they're still talking about breaking up as if it's, you know, it's an occurrence. And listen, it's not about me not understanding it. It's what me and Scott have done for the first 3 years that we knew each other. I mean, I've had significant times of being what I call blackout with Scott, which is he was exploring life with another woman, and I was, or not, but we were not together. We were not together because when it got really tough, you know, I ran and he did his thing. So, you know, it's growth. It's my soul is growing. It's tremendous. The time, the organic frequency that's on the planet right now is so incredibly supportive to this type of work, because it really is the work of self. Because I have to say, Janine, I got to give kudos, and I want the audience to hear this. Janine is so supportive of me being in a relationship, that I'm telling you, if you're in a relationship and you're looking for the person that you can talk to that can help you understand healthy and help you understand yourself, and Janine is just genius when it comes to the subtle realm and her intuition, her gifts for knowing how to, you know. Because how many of us have friends that when we tell our problems to in our relationship, if either the friend's in a bad relationship or they're single, what do? They kind of eat at you and kind of start supporting you breaking up. I mean, listen, I see it all the time. I know I have friends like that. But now, as I'm making these changes in my life, those aren't the friends that I'm talking to anymore, you know, for my relationship advice. I'm going to a person, and the truth is, I used to think you had to be in a relationship to know this. Janine's in the relationship that ultimately the most important, the relationship with self. And in that relationship, she really is, you are masterful at helping me understand how to relate with myself and with Scott. I mean, it's just, you know when somebody's in your life who's supporting the joy of your life. And all right, and I'm going to ask everybody to ask yourself this question. How many of you people know people that when something really good happens to you and you call your friend up and you get the you intuitively know they're not celebrating with you? Yeah. That, you know, they're like, how dare you celebrate, you know, good, what's going on good in your life, because my life sucks right now, and you know, I they're just not celebrating with you. Now,
yeah.
Well, Janine's,
you know,
not that person. I said, you are not that person. You celebrate with me because your life is going good.
No, but, you know, the thing is I support the authentic self. Therefore, I support anything that is genuine with the authentic self, which is your relationship as well, because you're fearless, and even if you have fear, you're facing the, you know, the parts of you that have been fixed or, you know, doing it another way. And so it's easy for me because I can feel this authenticness and this genuineness. And I would say that, you know, if I was in conversation with someone and I was completely sensing that there was an inauthentic self thing happening, I would be clear about that. You know, so it is that I support the self relationship, authentic self relationship, and then when someone in their authentic self is having a relationship that's wonderful and real and organic and is taking risks and is communicating, and you know, I just find that to be the best of both worlds, you know, and so
I agree, and I feel very blessed.
And when I talk to someone who I'm sensing is in an imbalanced it's not from the authentic self. You know, I'm pretty clear about that, and I'll always say, you know, there's the sanctuary, the inner sanctuary needs more nurturing, because when someone comes in touch with that part of themselves, they are so much more capable of having an authentic relationship that supports intimacy, communication, and relating. And
that includes being vulnerable
and showing all the...
absolutely. I think it's a foundational
fact that being vulnerable has to be here. And I learned that by experience, obviously, of myself. And, you know, and really, you know, so many times collapsing into like total fear but confronting it and getting out of a relationship that did not support my authentic self.
Because that could be the same thing, right? Because see, sometimes what are we denying?
Yeah.
Are we denying that the if the relationship, if everything in your body is telling you the relationship's, you know, not supporting you, you know, and there's a lot
or
of people
it's not
that
resonating with the authentic self, then
right.
you're in there, you know, kind of, you know, acting out the old patterns of, you know, of low self-esteem or whatever that is, but it's, you know, when you can feel someone acting from their authentic self and it's genuine, then you know that this relationship is part of that. And that's why it's so easy to support it, as opposed to it's not an across the board thing. Like I don't go, yeah, all relationships I would support. That's not true.
Right. That's not true. Because authentic. No. Right on. Right on. I'm so used to, you know, the people that I've asked for relationship advice inherently have been in. It's nowhere near the pristine. Well, not. I guess because I wasn't there. I mean,
That's true, because you remember when you say things to me like, you rock, Jay, or, you're amazing, you'll say to me, and I go, but you let me be, you let me discuss, like, it takes two, it really does. It's like, yes, you get it because you're in it. You're open to it. You're authentic.
Right. And, I'm creating it.
You know, you let me be excellent. You do. And it takes two.
It's such a good feeling.
Right.
I love it.
Right.
I love it.
Right.
But right on. But I hear what you're saying. Right. Because, you know, I guess what I would invite the listeners then to, you know, because, like, I have a friend of mine who says that, she has a friend of hers who she always listens to her problems, but like my friend could be crying, and if the friend calls, she'll be like, oh, what's the matter? And she'll get like two sentences into what's going on, and her friend on the phone will basically turn it around and talk about her own situation. I mean, like, just it's always about her friend. It's never about my friend. You know, she has a friend that doesn't let her share, and I was like, you know, well, because it triggered me when she said that. I was like, well, listen, I can be selfish. So, you know, if I'm ever you know, not conscious of what's going on with you, let me know. And she goes, you know, Goldie, there's a lot of adjectives I would use to describe you. She was like, unconscious isn't one of them. And she's like, I wasn't talking about you. I was talking about this other friend. But as we had the conversation, it started coming out that I was like, you know, from an archetypical point of view, if you were all characters involved, who is this woman representing that is controlling and does and keeps you invisible and doesn't want to let you share? Who is that? And she goes, my mother.
Yeah.
And I went.
It's always fun to track that stuff, you know, because it's all
discovery. Because it's tremendously
what
the awareness is so priceless. It's such a, I mean, like that's what's available right now, to have somebody talk with you that can just kind of help you see if you do have people in your life that are, you know, quote unquote, you know, triggering you left, right, and center. Well, where is it from within? Because I promise, my father used to be the epitome of my lacking belief in myself in the radio show. And, well, that's just a radio show, but my lack of belief in myself. And as soon as I figured that out, I literally was like, when he would say something, you know, oh, the radio show is just a crock, you know, don't, you know, keep your pipe dreams to yourself. When he would say that, instead of being offended by that statement, I'd be like, all right, Goldie, he's letting you know you're not believing in yourself.
Right,
work
right.
on that. Work on, start having a dialogue with yourself that's at least honest. So at least honor that accept it. You don't believe in yourself. And
well,
as I work
right.
on that.
That's the relating thing, because within, that's within, without, that's exactly right. In fact, you said that. I think you said it either last week or the week before, that who's showing up are projections of ourselves that we haven't really dealt with yet. And, I was just enjoying the fact that, you know, I am so happy for you and you recognize that. And I'm like, yay, these are all the, you know, that means that there's all this going on for me, that I'm happy for me.
Right on, babe. Right on.
Right, because,
right on.
Because there's no barrier there for my own happiness for myself, and there's no barrier for my happiness for you. There's
right
just
on.
No barrier. It's just, you know, it's genuine. It's just there. So I'm going, hey, that means I'm happy for me.
Yeah, right on. See, and that is the ultimate soulful response, what you just said. And that's the ultimate. It is, because you can recognize you can be selfish, which is really being soulful, and it's reflected in the outer world that we're, that
yeah.
we, you know.
So it's like, yeah. you know, Jay, you know, something about, I don't know, you know, when someone said to me once, you know, you let me love you. And it's like, I get it.
Yeah.
I really get that there's this two-way ability. So then that is, for me, bringing it up again, the art of relating. I mean, you become so attuned to this organic unfolding relating, and you know, and your instincts, you know, I said to you, Goldie, your instincts, you know, even though you're going, do you think that, you know, is that rescuing? And I'm going, no, your instincts are good. That's being reassuring. That's being caring and considerate to someone you are involved with, you deeply care about. But that's great instincts, you know. And so, you know, these are just, for me, that's, you know, and I laugh with you when I say, this is so fun for me, because we're getting to storytell with real life, but it's, you know, it's showing how it can be done. And it,
exactly.
And, right.
See,
right.
I mean, we're teaching, and I'm telling you, and I didn't make this into a lesson plan number 32. We're now going to talk about abandonment.
No,
I mean,
because
last week I went through abandonment with Scott, and I'm sharing it. That really, that's all this is, and yet,
well, I just want to thank that elephant.
Right on.
The sentient being that beautiful elephant, because, you know, I just keep, you know, that is what you say, the subtle, and that I noticed the subtle, and that, you know, in every unexpected, spontaneous thing that happens, if you look back, you go, oh, look at that. That's amazing. And, you know,
yes,
we're experiencing that every day. And, you know, that beautiful elephant, you know, you had you all fired up, and yet it was, it to me, it was prophetic in a way of what was about to unfold, which was actually a real example of the natural state of balance when we allow things to happen. You know, when we take risks.
Right on.
Right.
Right
on. So, and you know, right. So, you know.
Remember when I said to you today, I'm seeing the opposites?
Yeah. I do.
That just, because now, you know, I don't know how this will just continue to be the conversation as weeks go on, but
okay.
I'm telling you, as everybody knows, I have this fear of being deceived. I do. I have this fear that, you know, I'm not going to ascend with Mother Earth, and I'm really starting. What's interesting is every milestone, especially these galactic alignment. I mean, whatever happened yesterday, I feel grounded. It's story time. I'm not reactive today. I'm not reactive from balance. I'm just sharing with you.
Right.
And I can feel that you know that, and I can sense the audience knows it too. Now, what's so interesting about this is, see, life talks to us in so many ways. Like today I was watching these documentaries, and it was just so interesting because the one that stands out most profoundly is National Geographic has a channel now, but there used to be a show in like the 80s and 90s. The National Geographic used to have a show, and I'll do the music of the show, and I know you guys will all get it. The music went like this. It went, dun 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 dun, dun 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. You know, it's like, it's just iconic music. When people are like, oh, I remember hearing that music. And, you know, National Geographic was a very, quote unquote, this is a respected magazine as well as a respected place to get our information. And this is like, I'm like, so I found it on Netflix. National Geographic did an episode on the Vatican. And I was like, okay, you know, let's take a looky at this. And it's funny because I'm not in a dark space. Again, last week I was posting some stuff about, you know, some truth about the Vatican being, you know, a really, really dark space.
Mm-hmm.
Now, without going into that dark space tonight, because this does feel celebratory, but this is what I want people to understand that, see, as we start looking within, as we make friends with our anger and we make friends with our depression and we make friends with our fear, what ends up starting to happen is when I watched this documentary on the Vatican, it was so clear to me that it was a show just riddled with propaganda about the Vatican. I mean, I'm just going to be honest. It was just fucking bullshit. I mean, they were painting the opening line of this documentary, which, by the way, was and I noticed it, Martin Sheen was the narrator. I was like, that was interesting that they felt him to be the voice of truth and trustability. They said that if the Vatican had a commodity, like other countries have commodities, if the Vatican had a commodity, the commodity was souls.
Oh,
and I'll be honest, there was a part of me that just went, ew. Like, wow, that is a, you know, it really, when he said souls, I was like, I went to the depth of hell. I was like, that is, you know, souls from a very dark space. And
that was nasty marketing.
It was, I mean, but it was like, now this documentary, which is totally available on Netflix and or other places, I didn't get the date, but I got the sense it was from somewhere maybe late 80s, early 90s. That was just my sense of it. And that's when this, you know, that was when the show was running. So
yeah,
it's somewhere in that time frame. And it was like they were using music that, you know, it was the kind of music that really, if I shut my eyes and just listened to the music, the visual I would have would be, you know, a little blonde-headed girl running through wildflowers with her golden retriever. You know, just really lighthearted. And so, but here's my point. When Janine just said just now that understanding the truth, even from its opposite,
yeah,
I can't tell you how valuable it is to have that knowing within. Because as much as, you know, I share my perspective, you know, listen, there's plenty of people out there that are still, you know, they're all for the Pope and, you know, come kiss my hand and, you know, save me from the world of, you know, Armageddon or, you know, whatever. I'm okay with anybody that chooses that for themselves. I really am. That's not for me. But neither is Buddhism, neither is, you know, Taoism. I mean, like, organized religion in general, just not for me, as well as organized New Age and spirituality, I'm starting to learn, as I'm embracing my artist. My artist is much more about the creativity, much more about the alchemy, and much more out of my head, because, boy, spirituality and New Age is such a mind game. And I am not speaking of this because I have avoided it. Holy shit, I was deep in the mind game of building Merkabahs and doing processes that were turning on my DNA, and I'm going to get to my ascension because, you know, here's the truth of it, because it's an elitism. The New Age is the spiritual elite. And which is so funny because they're pointing at the financial elite, like they're the bad guys, and they're directly across for them with spirituality. It's just
right.
Humorous, the fingers pointing at each other. And I'm learning from my own experience the way out of that. And it's, and when I say out, I mean you grow bigger. It's actually not out. It's that stuff becomes a subset. All of this, all of my experiences, nothing has not led me to knowing what I know. Everything has led me to knowing what I know. So nothing needs to be excavated. Nothing needs to be, you know, like we were saying earlier, eliminated, conquered, beaten. None of that. There's a space that goes beyond
it. Or that word banished. You know,
or that word banished, absolutely.
Yeah.
Nothing needs to be banished, because when I'm in the artist archetype of who I am, and I'm not talking about the starving artist, which is so interesting how, you know, again, the culture on some level, and this actually I feel is actually world culture, you know, that most artists don't get claim to fame until they die. I don't believe that that's a coincidence. That's the powers that be wanting, telling people, stay away from art because, you know, because that's going to inevitably connect you to your soul, and we don't want
that. That's self-empowerment.
It's exactly right. That's exactly right. The
and it's
artist...
It's expression beyond limitation, or, you know, the outside world telling you what, you know, what you should say and what you should express. So it's all, yeah, so you're right that there's a certain kind of force that the artist has come up against, you know, and that, but that's no reason not to do it, you know. But you're right.
And I'm going to say this with all of my being right now, the frequency we live in right now, the value of doing something just for the love of doing it will trump anything you're doing just for the money. Oh my God, it will trump it in such divine ways. And it's not like I can't give you the blueprint. I can't tell you how it's going to look in your life, but I can tell you it's a direct connection to your soul. Scott just came home the other day and told me he bought a trombone. Scott is going to teach himself trombone, how to play the trombone. And Scott's already a drummer, and he knows how to play the keyboard. And I'm totally I mean, I'm enamored with Scott, but I love that he's 39 years old and he's still looking to learn. He's not too old to learn an instrument. He's excited about it, and it gets his heart going, and his soul gets in there. And I looked at him, and I went, well, you know what, babe? I got something I want to do. And he's like, what? And I go, I want to start painting. And he goes, really? And he started telling me that he went through a painting phase, and he has an easel. And, in fact, when we go to his mom's tomorrow, we're going to bring it over here. And now, he went the route of trying to do realism, you know, making an apple look like an apple. And
I
went, no, I know. And I was like, no, 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 that's not.
No, but remember, that studio was already inside you. So there, now here comes the easel. That's
well,
so great.
I mean, it's incredible, so Janine. And, yes, indeed, I'm telling you, Janine is the one helping me see this, because I'm like, here's what I know just from being with the kids and doing the art with the kids. I want to move my body, and I want to move my arms, and I mean like move them on a canvas in full extension with colors, with connecting colors and seeing how they move in themselves, because I truly have this knowing. It's not even a belief. It's a knowing that energetically I'm going to energize paintings that will have a presence about them that will just kind of work its magic for anybody that's attracted to them. I just know that. And, of course, having, you know, my best friend happens to be an artist who, at the moment, I have, like, 5 of her paintings all around Scott's house. and I'm getting the same, you know, principle. But, you know, it's like, I can't tell you, like, I know a lot of people think that, you know, their passion is something they have to, quote-unquote, market. Mm-hmm. I am not talking about marketing my paintings. If that comes about in this journey, so be it. But somebody's going to actually have to walk up to me and go, here, I'd like to buy your painting. Because it's really about my soul wants to come into the 3D world through this experience. And so the soul expands. And my physical being expands by this membrane, which is what Janine was talking about, with the vesica Pisces. There's the circle of the soul. There's the circle of being physical. When they start connecting, like a vesica Pisces, inevitably, it's like portals open up between the two, where the soul starts communicating and expressing through the human, and as well as the human benefits from the soul, by allowing it the movement to move through it, through the physical being. This is where I believe well-being, wellness, health, vitality. That's what I think this whole 2012 end times, I get it, that I'm starting to really get that I'm not leaving the planet anymore. I'm just shifting. I'm just getting that I'm going to be in a different frequency, you know, starting from March 2013. And that frequency is about, I'm not the teacher. I'm not the student. I'm not trying to heal anybody. I'm not a light, quote unquote, light worker. I'm just an artist, you know, living with my beloved who, you know, doing painting, raising birds, having best friends and doing radio shows and, you know, just really a peaceful but adventurous existence. That's what I see for myself, and I can feel it. It's manifesting. I mean, it's manifesting. So today I said to Scott, I go, do you want to do, you know, do you want to go forever with me? Or are we in this for our lifetime? And he's like, for a lifetime, babe. And I was like, right on.
That's so
nice. Yeah,
Wow!
I didn't
love
know
this
we were
going to.
You're such a pivotal part, because just so everybody knows, Janine is helping me see the artist in me, and it's not that she's not planting it with me. She just helps me see that. See, my perspective as a teacher does not show up in the same perspective as me as the artist, and what she gives to me, I want to give to you guys in the audience, because it's like you got to start asking different questions, and you got to start shifting the way. If you're seeing it one way, go behind it, or go to the side of it, or go above it. I don't care. Just be willing to know that there's one way is not the only way to see something. I have a sense that the ultimate renaissance for our planet is, you know, in all honesty, all of us becoming in tune with our artists. None of us, we don't need to teach because that implies a student. The teaching will happen, but not from a structured mental, I'm better than you, and therefore if, you know, I have it and you don't. Oh, that's just nonsense. We all have, all the tools are within us. All of it.
It's so great. Yeah. I mean, because you're right. I mean, it is the Renaissance, you know, heart, mind, soul. I mean, it is, and you know, what initiation art is to me. That it's the self empowerment by the individual creating something that's validating something they've already gone through and have integrated. And the interesting thing about what you say about consider the opposite or another way is initiation art doesn't happen and then you change. It's already occurred. And a lot of times that's really how it's been for a lot of us, where we think, oh, and when it happens, and I'm going, no, it's already happened. It's already,
yes.
You're just a little behind yourself. You know, it's already happened. And
right.
It's like,
well, that's the point where, because I just have to interrupt. See, you know, when you know it's already where you're benefiting from it, when you're willing to look at the pain that's already happened to you. You've already gone through the pain.
Yeah, you've
now
already
get
gone
the
through.
Benefit from the pain, because there is benefit in those dark experiences, in the abandonment, in the all of it, all of the
right.
stuff that created the pain from your childhood to present moment. The benefits are astronomical. I'm telling you, they blow away any fur coats, diamonds, because that stuff doesn't get you peace of mind.
Prozac,
exactly. The if you don't recognize that it's already happened, it's simply because you haven't looked at your experiences in a full circle. You haven't come full circle. So instead of trying to, you know, and again, this isn't necessarily about talking about the situation. It's not about talking about your problems over and over and over and over until you're blue in the face. It really is about a new perspective of saying, how can I befriend my sadness? How can I befriend my fear? How can I befriend not loving myself? How can I do this? One answer. You got to love the simple answers.
Right.
Really, the most profound. Just
right.
be open to the idea that you are that. That's it.
Right, and that's the soul
profound.
Vulnerable.
Yes.
The deep feminine self, the open, and you know, in yes. you know, and it's yeah. I mean,
profound.
And it is. It's a game changer. And
yes.
you know,
yes.
it's fun. It's just so much fun when. You know, someone may be listening and it starts anchoring inside them and they're going, oh, there it is. I get it. You know, they've heard it maybe 1,000 times, but there's this one time that we actually get it. And it's like an anchor. It's like, oh, I get that. Okay. You know, and it's,
exactly.
it's such a great feeling because there's a true shift there. And then, you know, that's when you go, it's already happened. You can trust that. You can trust it. You know, to feel that. You don't go back. I mean, that's another thing that someone told me once, and I was like, wow, that's a bold statement. And
yeah,
it's
right
like,
on.
Right?
Right on.
But it's, you know,
right
sometimes it's really great to make bold statements, you know?
Well, because with bold statements come bold results.
Yes, and you know, and yeah, and then it shatters old belief systems to think
exactly.
that, you know, which disempower us when we think, oh, I'm just, you know, it's going to go away. And it's like, no, it's not. It's not going away. This is a shift. This shift
yes.
has occurred, you
yes.
know. So, right. So, you know, it's what a great place.
Yeah. Yeah, this was awesome. Awesome. Awesome.
I know.
I was reading your comments, and I just love it. I love that. I mean, the synchronicities, and I'm just delighted because, you know, it's definitely been, you know, I've had a good 4 or 5 weeks where, you know, I'm either bitching about elephants or I'm bitching about, you know, not getting paid. And, you know, and I was processing, and you know, and the truth is, when it comes to this, something happens that brings you to this whole new level. I mean, everything just makes sense, and you know, and again, like we said, there's no, it's not like I put a date on my calendar. Yeah, you know, May 21st, that will be the day that I'm all good. You know, I don't know when it's going to come, and I don't force it to have to be here by any certain date. I just trust that it will. I just trust that it will. Go ahead.
Well, you know, the beautiful thing about the whole, you know, the past 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 5 months, you know, the time on the radio show with you is, like, last Monday was, you know, and I said this to you, but when you said, I just really could argue with everybody, including you, Jay. And I was like, good, let's go.
I know,
go.
You rock,
and
you
because,
rock, I love
because
it.
In those spaces are like such treasures of, you know, let's go there, come on, you know, I'll
yeah,
go with,
exactly.
I'll go down there with you, don't worry, you know, because those are really, you know, if we're authentic and we're taking the ride into that place, it's like, I know it's where a lot of the good stuff is. And so, you know,
that's
the beauty, you know, I just saw, and then there was a shift right on the radio show, and it was just so, that's so real, you know?
And I'm telling you, that's when it starts showing up. It does show, it is showing up in my third dimension.
Right,
which
because
is,
we're willing to go there.
Well,
know?
Absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
Like, you know, and...
Well, and willing to go in so it shows up out. Because that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And I know that, you know, all the great people, you know, the great quote-unquote teachers will say, it doesn't have to show up in your outer world to know that the shift is taking place. And I agree with that. But I can tell you, when you reach a level where, you know, it's all about the inside world, it's, you're just completely not, it's no longer the outside world tells you how you feel. I mean, the outside world can trigger me, but I waste zero energy trying to figure out why Scott triggered me. Zero energy. The minute Scott triggers me, I'm literally, okay, time to go to the woods. I need to go within. I need to process this. And I'll tell you, when you become efficient to working from that perspective, that it's always about the inside, always, there's no blame, it's all self, it's becoming, the lag time of manifesting milestones, of manifesting clarity, of manifesting the shifts that are cellular, not just my mind going, oh, I've got an insight, but my body's still reacting to something. No, I'm talking about where I can sit in the same situation and my body is now softened and relaxed. That is happening faster and faster, and it's not even just that it's faster. It's becoming one synchronistic flow of it. It's just... Every day, I'm transforming my sensorial, how I'm sensing the world and my experience of it, and that trumps any, you know, meditation that says, okay, let's build our 12-dimensional wall Merkaba to help make sure that I'm protected when, you know, the shit hits the fan and whatever is coming down the pike comes down the pike. No. No, it's about being present. Because I'll tell you, here's another thing I kind of got, and I want to share. One of the things I'm seeing, because I watched the Vatican, I watched that. I watched something about the Book of Revelations. Mm-hmm. And one other thing, and one of the things that I'm starting to get just from my cells, this is my cells telling me this, that the predictions of I'm going to almost be as bold to say is almost everything that's been predicted, especially by like national TV stuff, you know, the History Channels and the ABCs and NBCs and CBSs, it's like all of it is propaganda to keep us in a conditioned state of being. You know, like, because they were showing even historically, like when you were saying the last 3 weeks of May, when you were 17, you know, you had this tremendous time of being connected and writing deep poetry. On the Vatican movie, they mentioned May 19th, and this was like 500 BC. And on the Book of Revelation, they mentioned May 12th. And this was, again, May 12th of, like, 800 A.D. or whatever it was. And I'm just, you know, I was just making note of going, wow, this is about cycles. This is cycles and energies. And the Mayan calendar, in its purest form, understands cycles. But it also, the one concept we can take from the Mayan calendar that's tremendously helpful here is the cycles are ending. Now, I don't know what that means, but I can at least understand it that, okay, so then that means whatever's happening now, because I can tell you what I think it means. What I think it means is the idea of us being suppressed from our soul is just simply a done deal. Like, because they're going to change their whole program now, because that cycle is ending. We can no longer be unaware. Because the only thing that's truly ending the suppression by the powers that be, it's not the protesting per se. I mean, God bless the people who protest. You know, whatever you're passionate about, do it. But the truth is, it's an inside job. If you want to not be controlled by chemtrails and modified food, well, truth be then connect with your soul, because what really keeps your body alive is the flow of the soul moving through it. That, and when you die, it's not necessarily just because your body has cancer in it, because there's spontaneous healings that have happened, you know, to hundreds upon thousands of people. So why do some people heal and some people don't? You know, in other words, it starts becoming... you just start looking at everything from an energy point of view, not necessarily a physical point of view. Physical is the manifestation of energy, but so let's go beyond the physical to make, you know, you want to get healthy, you have to eat organic foods. You know, I beg to find somebody who can find foods that hasn't had some kind of acid rain pour down on it that would make it, on some level, toxic. You know, the whole planet is going through acid rain. We've been blowing up nuclear bombs from, you know, for the hundreds of years, whatever, years. And so my whole point is that, so let's go to the place where we really can understand this, you know, well-being and this magic and this true connection of what we are capable of experiencing. And that, to me, comes down to one thing. Connect with your soul.
Yeah,
that is the authentic way to ride this. That it is synonymous with organic and soul, self, the part of us that's self, not some middleman, not some middle archangel, not some galactic being. And I'm not saying that they won't play parts in this, but the ultimate is just self, connect with self.
Yeah, and you know, I think also you were saying something about this time, and I was thinking that a really nice representation that I have great affection for is the, and self-reflection is the activity of the sun, because I feel that the sun is a representation of what's going on for us, or a self-reflection where there's you know, I just think the sun has... you know, with the solar
flares. It's a key player. It's a key player.
Yeah, it is a key player. And it's showing, yes. Like, because with that dream I had about walking into a sun, you know, it was my own sun. It was myself. It was my, but
yes.
But the sun on the outer world, I think represents our own empowerment, our own consciousness, our own, and you know, and I just, you know, I've never really been that much of thinking about the sun, but I have a great affection for the sun in this last, you know, and you know, that's just how I feel. I mean,
Right on. That's your cells telling you that.
Yeah,
that's understanding that language.
Because I've had a deep love for nature, Mother Nature and Earth and nature, and yet now all of a sudden I have this great affection for the sun, and I'm like, wow. You know, so, and that was before I had the dream. And so,
I just wanted to mention that as a positive kind of hint
of what's going on within ourselves.
Yes.
You know, so.
Yes. Yeah, connect with the sun. I mean, and I'm not talking about looking at it straight ahead.
No,
but I'm talking about it's a portal.
Becoming aware of it. And
yes.
You know,
I
look at it as friendly.
Yes, well, because it is, because all of this is. This is really, you know, it's a totally friendly way that it almost feels, it's unstoppable. It's so funny, whether, you know, whether we're eating, you know, because I'm still living on a diet of sugar and white flour. I'm sorry, that's where I like, and part of it is because I know it can be done. I know that I can have self-awareness and still eat sugar and white flour. Because, you know, I hear all the raw foodists and everybody going, it can't be done. And I'm like, yes, it can. Yes, it can. Because, see, that's the soul trumps everything. My soul is telling me it's okay that if you eat that, you're still going to be self-aware. Because, hey, here I am, and I'm still self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I just want people to know, eat the raw food if it brings you joy. Eat the sugar if it brings you joy. You know, do what brings you joy. Do, and for me, and I highly recommend, find the joy in the pain. Find the joy in the darkness of your personal darkness. Your stuff. Not necessarily the world's dark stuff. Your part in it, because it will help you understand the world's darkness, and at the same level, it will help you alchemize the darkness for the world. Just alchemize your part. That's all that's necessary. And you're doing more for the planet than you could ever do, you know, sitting on a foghorn, you know, screaming at the steps of Congress, in my humble opinion.
Hey,
so,
I think the show ended.
Yeah. So
I want to get your details.
Give where people can find you.
Oh, okay. Please. Thanks.
Yeah.
It's, my website is www.jlkimmel.com. KIMMEL.com and SpringTreePress.com, and I'm on Facebook. Look on Goldie's page.
Yes, you can find her friendship on my friendship on my page, and anotherrealityshow.com. That's where all our archives are. Every Monday night, Mystical Mother Earth Show, and I have another a show is coming up on for the Another Reality Show. I'll have a new guest on. It hasn't been booked yet. I'm having issues, but it's coming. And tune in again. Tune into Facebook because a lot of times me and Janine do spontaneous shows with the Mystical Mother Earth Show just to share something that's going on. So it was a pleasure, Janine. You know, as always,
yeah,
truly
wonderful.
A pleasure.
Wonderful show.
Yeah. Right on, babe. Right on. Thank you all for listening.
Thank
we love
Dennis
you all.
And Tina.
Yeah, Dennis and Tina and the guests. And I know Seneca said she's going to check us out in the archives and. Susan, if you're out there, we love you. And Simon, everybody, thank you all. Thank you. I really enjoy sharing my life with all of you. Mm-hmm. That is my sincere, I just love it. So thank you, everybody, and have a wonderful night. And
all right.
Talk to you soon.
Good night. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Love you all. Gotta go.
Oh, bye.
I'm so glad I had
this time together.
To have a laugh or sing a song. Seems we just get started, and before you know